Oh wow, it's rolling. Okay, this is my second podcast in Recovery Waves. I wrote the general gist of this one about 5 days ago. I have been struggling with it. I've prayed about it, and like I just I'm at a, you know, I finally just prayed. I'm like, all right, give me the words that I should speak because it's a very difficult subject for me. But you know, I didn't go into this with an outline like, what should I talk about in this podcast? What should I talk about in this next podcast? I kind of think what's happening is that I'm wanting to talk about certain subjects, deep like areas of my life that created immense shame. And then at some point through this wide berth, as I called it on the first podcast, that it'll become more clear where this is, you know, where this is going and how it will evolve. So, I experienced something when I was, I believe I was 5 years old, that I just turned five, and my parents had just split up. I have a younger sister. She's 2 years younger than me. And anyway, we ended up living with this family for a very short time. So I'm going to be discussing that event in this podcast, briefly speaking more about details that followed through my life, but not even I'm not even going to be graphic about it. Like I'm just going to be talking about some little snippets of it. So I went through something that is called satanic ritual abuse, and some people don't believe it happens. That's fine. I know that it happened to me. And so I'm going to touch on that in this podcast, and I'm just going to get rolling with it. And over time, the goal is to work out the kinks that, like, I've never done a podcast before, but there's classes that I can take to refine this process. And if you guys ever feel led, just feel free to leave me some comments that might help me do a better job, run a tighter ship, so to speak. Okay, so like I said, the satanic ritual abuse happened when I was, I believe I was five. I started kindergarten in one school and then moved to another area, in Seattle in the spring of 70. Let's see, it was the spring of 76. My parents had split up, and they off this couple offered to let us stay with them. Now by that time I'd already been through a lot of abuse with my father, and I won't go into that in this podcast. He is deceased, and I have not decided yet how that will evolve in the podcast as well, because of course there are still living family members that could hurt. So by the time this happened, when we moved in with these people and these things happened, I really didn't have, I knew that what was happening with my dad was wrong. But then when this stuff happened, the shame just blew wide open. Like there's no words to describe. You know what I mean? Like going through that completely stamped this lack of, I don't know, humaneness, I guess, in my consciousness that this is planet Earth. This is real. This is really, real. Like, this isn't Sesame Street. And to say that that didn't impact me, anyone who knows me knows that I really struggle with finding, like, joy in life, because it's almost like that experience cut me so deep that I know, like, when we're all just enjoying our lives, there's somebody going through something, you know, really real, like, that's really bad, you know what I mean? Okay, I'm gonna try not to get too sidetracked. Okay, so one of the people, the man that we stayed with, he told me during that whole thing that I'd be hurt and my family would be as well if I told anybody, you know. So that thread ran through my life very deeply. Don't tell. Don't tell. Just keep it to yourself. Don't tell. I did make an attempt while we were still staying in the house to say something to my mom, to tell her, you know, there's somebody coming into my room at night and taking me out of the room. And the guy was standing right by me and he was touching my hair, kind of like stroking my hair. So I was really brave because they'd already told me, like, you're going to have major problems if you tell anybody. And there I was telling my mom. Now I'm jumping to, I'm following these cards. I tell you, there's going to be a refinement process. I can see it already. Okay. So by the time I was in fourth, fifth grade, after this stuff happened, you know, it was like a couple of month time span. It may have even been like a month when we stayed there. I was showing signs that I'd been through it. They bathed me, you know, after it happened, every time it happened. So when I was in kindergarten, we moved back to this area where I'd gone to kindergarten in the beginning of the year to finish out the rest of the year. And every day that I came home from school, I would take a bath. So I remember that. I remember, I don't remember how it was coming out very much. But when I was in, I think, fourth or fifth grade, my mom took me to a neurologist because it was obvious, like, something wasn't right. I was carrying some kind of stress in my body that was apparent that it was there, you know? So I think that, you know, the neurologist, I don't know, it's pretty hard to get anywhere with the fourth or fifth grader when they're still, you know, they're not catatonic, they're going to school, they're doing chores, you know what I mean? So they just never got very far with me on that. They just said, you know, neurologically wise, she looks okay. So through all, as a result, I'll say, of the satanic ritual abuse, I developed OCD. And I'm just going to throw that out there. And it wasn't until I was 20 that I realized it was a defense mechanism and not organic OCD. Like, some people have something in their brain that if they take medication, usually, like anaphrenil is a medication that a lot of people with OCD take, and then it gets better. So growing up, I struggled with shame, of course, fear surrounding the abuse from what I went through with the ritual abuse. And I would have major reactions from triggers that spun me out really bad, right? Like, I could not wash a knife in a sink unless I grabbed it, you know, with something. Like, I had such a fear of knives. And also, I was very sensitive to like any kind of, movie that I saw that was even remotely mirrored that event. I personally think it's tragic that we make films about things like that. I think it glorifies it, But I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm not really going to get into details yet. I might later about certain things that happened during my life, where that would happen, what would happen, and what that was like living through those moments before I really brought up the trauma and started dealing with it. So, I lived with a lot of that trigger stuff, and I really didn't start putting the pieces together until I was 24 years old. So by the time I was 24, I had Richie and I had Antonia. So Antonia was 2, maybe? I think she was 2 when I was 24. So when I was 20, I went to a high dollar psychiatrist. He was a really great guy. I basically had a nervous breakdown after my firstborn's birth because, in part, his birth was triggering the satanic abuse. Okay, I'm not going to go too far into that yet because it's even more emotional for me now. It was more painful then. It was more confusing then. It was more chaotic then in my head. But it's more painful to me now that I actually lived through it. So basically, this doctor, he just looked at me and said that I've tried OCD medication. You've been on the highest dose of anafrenil, and it made no dent. And it didn't. He looked at me and he said, "I can have you go to the psychologist here, and she can try to pry it out of you, whatever's going on inside of you that isn't, it isn't coming out." Because it was like what he was basically telling me is the only issue you have is you have so much trauma that is so down deep in you that I really can't do anything for you until that comes up. But I think too, he didn't want to send me to somebody to start kind of trying to pry it out of me because I think he was, frankly, he was probably concerned that it could take me out. I've had no suicide attempts, which is just a miracle to me. But I think there was a part of me that knew that I would never outrun these things that happened in my life, even if it was down so deep. And I was going to have to face it regardless because it happened, right? And I was there. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he basically just said, someday when you're ready, it'll be revealed and then you'll face it. And that was that. So, fast forward, my oldest, the one I had right before the nervous breakdown, and Richie, if you're listening, it was a gift. But see, even that trauma affected him and it affected my daughter. And it has probably affected every area of my life, really, right? Because that shame, that core shame is still there, right? It's still, the core shame is there. It gets healed and over time it gets better. So there's hope. I'm not saying there isn't hope. So he was going into kindergarten, the same age as I was when these people did what they did. And I went to Fred Meyer. This was in Alaska, right before his first day of school. And I just turned and started walking down the spice aisle. And I just smelled the spice, and boom, there I was. I was in a room with this man, and it was all like the lid was opening up. And ironically enough, I'd met a gal at church that had mentioned that she had gone through satanic ritual abuse, and I was thinking, like, really, it didn't even, like, I did not have a thought except how terrible. Like, oh my gosh, like, how did you live through that, you know? I 100% believed her, you know, and just kind of went on with my life. Didn't think too much about it. So eventually more began surfacing without counseling, just kind of like going through my day and boom. And at one point, as this process was happening, I literally, one day I felt like this pressure release from my head. It was almost like there was like this plate in my head or two plates that were connected, and they just kind of shifted, and it was crazy. And I knew in that moment that that's exactly what had happened, is there was some kind of pressure going on in my body that once I started remembering, boom. My OCD got better. I mean, it was amazing, right? Now, my personality developed through that, but a lot of that has gotten better and probably, you know, it's not even really there that much anymore. So I called the psychologist in Seattle, the high dollar one. He was like $350 an hour. And he took like state insurance from me, you know? I mean, he was just a really awesome guy. And I told him what had been happening, and he said, all of it fits. I had seen the psychologist through high school or psychiatrist for like 4 years. He had all those records, and he said, yeah, this is it. So I never really doubted it again. I just kind of was like, yep. I called around to find psychologists in the area that would see me once all this stuff started coming up, and there wasn't one. That's really sad. So this is 1995, and I called and I called and I called, and there was nobody that they said they wouldn't deal with something like this. So basically, I was faced with how am I going to proceed? I still suffered with OCD, agoraphobia, not too bad, but it was there. Depression, PTSD. So I was devastated, like totally devastated. I was like, all right, great, now what? You know? At this point, I was divorced with Richie and my daughter. So 4 and 2, about 4 and 2, and then ages 5 and about 5 and 3. Finally, I found a pastor's wife that said she could help, and her grace, positively beyond a shadow of any doubt, sustained my life. So yeah, I would drive. I would drive from one little town in Alaska to the other just to go see her once a week. You know, a couple times on the way back, just throw up, you know, just from the stress. Like, it was so hard to just like, you know, just to walk through it. So, I'm wondering, I'm probably pretty close to being done. So I don't really know why, like, I decided to just go right in there. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like the way that I'm wired, right? Because this is one of the earlier core issues of shame for me. So I'm just kind of gliding over it. And if I ever discuss this issue, I'm not going to get into details, you know, because most people, if they know anything about it, they already know. Like, there's nothing, I don't even need to go further. Probably too, you know, recovery waves, like so many people have gone through so many things, And part of the reason why I'm doing it, of course, is for my own healing, like I mentioned before, but that some people can come out of hiding, like if they're hiding shameful things, that they can, if they listen to this, you know, and I know there's tons of podcasts out there. It's not like mine is going to save the world. But it could help somebody who's struggling with really deep, deep shame. So yeah, you know, I could have just, you know, had this be episode 10 after I have a few engaging podcasts. You guys are like, oh, I like her. And they're like, oh my gosh, she talked about satanic ritual abuse. And oh, we're gonna drop this podcast. This is just too much for me. You know what I mean? Eventually, the vision I have as well is to interview people, basically them telling their story surrounding subjects, and then I would be interviewing them. Yeah, so that's kind of the format I have right now, is just each episode for a while to talk about core issues, how, you know, there are these offshoots of those core issues, and how looking back over my life now at almost 50, I can see them. And, you know, there's still more, right? Because healing isn't a straight line. So yeah, I'm probably just going to let it roll, let it ride. This was a tough one for me to even roll out, but I did it, right? I did it. And I've been putting it off. So I got her done. So just know there that you can heal from anything. You really, really can. And yes, trauma makes one question everything. God, everything. And I have found that if anything, that's what that trauma did, besides the shame, is it made me really struggle with a relationship with a higher power that loves me. And you know, that just is what it is. And it's a lot better than it used to be, you know? So anyway, you guys, I hope you're having a really great night, and I definitely don't want to bring you down with any of this. I'm just trying to keep it real. And, I guess I'm like, you know, getting on a surfboard, like a surfer girl, and like, all right, I'm hopping on here. I'm going to ride these recovery waves and this podcast and just see what happens. So anyway, thank you so much for listening, and enjoy your day as much as you can, and just know that there's nobody like you, no matter what you've gone through, that you are unique. And yes, we all have the same struggle. We all have struggles, right? But who we are as individuals is really, really precious. And the more that we can be who we are, and of course, I say that, you know, if your intentions are good, and, you know, you're relatively working on being a good human being. I'm saying it in that sense, of course, you know, just be who you are. And I hope I can help you ride the waves of life and recovery a little better. All right. Peace out.